Hello, and welcome to Revolutionize Your Love Life. Do you want to know more about love relationships? What makes them work? How to create the one of your best dreams? Do you want to be in a really healthy, juicy love relationship? In these podcasts, we will give ideas and practical advice to light your way. Whether you're looking for a love partner, already in a relationship you wish could be better, or leaving one that has run its course, there will be something to inspire, empower, and support you. Revolutionize Your Love Life is a fortnightly podcast where you will access the knowledge and wisdom of love experts and relationship coaches from across the world to help you find true fulfillment in love. I am your host, Heather Garbutt. Welcome. Hello, everyone. I'm here today interviewing Matt Albiges and Rebecca Perea. They are couples therapists based in London, and they coach as well, working with couples and individuals to create and transform their relationship through a breakthrough. They host their own podcast, and they've been featured in print and broadcast media. And Matt is author of Amazon top 15 bestseller, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Today, we're going to talk about how to create a really good romantic relationship. As Rebecca reminded me, it is possible. Mm-hmm. And how to rise to the challenges when they work together as couples therapists. Welcome, Matt. Welcome, hey. Rebecca.
Thanks, Heather. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Heather, for inviting us.
Oh, it's a real joy. So let's start with your love story. How did you meet and what drew you two together?
Yeah, shall I begin? Yeah, so we met doing a training course for something that we were passionate about. So imagine, like, both of us doing our thing. It was a training thing called NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. It's quite a famous communication formula. We were both, like, going through our personal and professional growth journeys. And, we met on this course and connected. And we took our relationship forward from there. You know, we realized that we had a lot in common, a lot of really important stuff in common. And we started as, like, friends, co-workers, I guess you could say. And then we started our relationship from that point.
That's beautiful. So you were both on a learning path right from the beginning.
Exactly.
Yes, we were. I could add to that, Heather, that I was in the middle of my deliberately dream partner manifestation process. And it's very difficult to bump onto someone that you know in London. And actually, I had already met Matt one day in the NLP training, because he was doing the master practitioner, and the trainer invited me. So he and his colleagues had someone to practice with. And then, of course, I would like the training, and I would buy it myself as well, which I did. So I have met Matt for one day. And later on, a few weeks later, I bumped onto Matt in the train in London. So difficult. So that's how.
Wow. Gives you the goosebumps, doesn't it?
It does. That's right. In central London, you know, you don't, like, well, you don't really bump into people in that way. But we did. Imagine we're sitting in the train carriage opposite each other. Like, oh, I know that woman. I met her in the NLP training, and we started talking. So that was a sign of something, you could say, Heather.
Magnet.
First of all, you bumped into each other and you spoke on the tube. That's amazing.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Go on, Rebecca. Are you going to say something else, Rebecca?
No, I was just saying that was the magnetism. The process was working.
Absolutely. What drew you to Matt in the first place?
Well, it's very funny, because the day I met him, he was dressed in a very humble and simple way. Really nice. Like, he's so humble. And I had a friend that she's a fortune teller, and she had told me years ago, you will meet your partner in one of those trainings that you do. And I had already given up any hopes. And when I left that day, when I first met Matt, I thought, she got it wrong, of course. But the day I met Matt in the underground, he was, oh my God, Heather, he was so handsome, dressed in his suit with his briefcase. And I was made amazed because I had finished my shift in the work that I had, the job that I had. And I was so sleepy in my face. I was so tired. And I was thinking, I hope I don't meet today anyone that I know. And he was there waiting for me in the underground.
The universe has mischievous ways.
Yes. The
And what drew you to Rebecca, Matt?
thing that drew me, Heather, was that she was so committed to her learning growth. Because I was doing this training, I was in a relatively good financial position. It wasn't that the cost of this training wasn't really that big a deal for me, but for Rebecca, it really was. Like she'd saved up to do this training. And I just like love that commitment, of all the things that you could be saving up for, the kind of things that people spend their money on. She was saving to do this course to advance herself, to be a better person, to grow. And I just really love that all out commitment to being the best person she could be.
It's beautiful. So what happened in the early stages? What challenges did you face, and how did you go through them?
Let's start. Yeah, so one challenge I would say that we have, we were, I would say we were a good match, but definitely not a perfect match. We had our glitches, we had things we needed to work on for sure. So one thing I would say is that Rebecca's very passionate and fiery and quite fast. And I am intrinsically not really like that. I'm much more like steady and slow and like to take my time. And that created issues at the beginning because I would need to think, we'd be talking about something, I would just have to process much more slowly. And what I realized is through some help that we got, coaching, is that that wasn't really going to work that well. That if I was going to have rapport with Rebecca, it required me to push myself a bit out of that comfort zone and to increase my pace where I had to. Otherwise, she was going to find it difficult to relate to me. So that was just one example I can think of, Heather, where, I had to work on certain aspects, just understanding my partner, what her needs were, what her style was, and just be willing to push myself a bit in that respect. So that'll be one thing.
I agree with that, Heather. And I would also add that I had to slow down that fast pace, and I had to learn to have some boundaries with other people because, like with Matt, because I wasn't. I was very like, I'm going to convince my partner. I was very pushy, very, I will get it however I want. I was surviving in London and in my life until I started to work on myself. So I was very hardwired to push, to force, to manipulate, to get what I want. Because it wasn't about getting what I wanted. It was about getting what I needed. I was in a survival mode. So I had to learn to have boundaries. So I respected Matt. So not I res so I respected Matt more. So I respected Matt basically. And also I was in a very little child state, little girl state. I was super girlish, childish. I had some issues that I had to work on with therapy, which it was mind-blowing. But yes, basically, I had to work on being a woman, growing. And that was great because that was an issue in my relationship with Matt because I had attraction issues with Matt. And it's not because Matt is like, I like him from day one. Well, day two when I met him in the underground. But I really, a child, a little girl, doesn't feel attracted towards a man, basically. So it was my issue. And yeah, Matt was so humble and so nice from day one. And I was hardwired to survive. Do whatever you need to do, do it what you need. And so yeah, had to do a bit of work in myself.
It sounds like you really had to work hard to meet in the middle, and that
Yeah.
you both had to make some significant compromises in your childlike ways. Because I'm guessing, Matt, that you had to be more slow and considered and sort of practiced to see what was coming to feel safe. And it sounds like Rebecca just jumped in and work it out later. Sort of, I don't know if that quite paraphrases what you're saying. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I was I don't I think I'm quite considered, by my natural character is quite slow and considered, and for many things that's fine, it works quite well. But there are certain things where if I bring that same structure and slowness into certain conversations with someone so passionate and hot and fiery, we just won't have rapport. We just won't connect. And what I've realized that I feel like one of the biggest blessings really of my relationship with Rebecca is I've taken on some of that passion, and now I'm much more like emotionally connected and passionate. And whereas before I'd be much more detached and a step back, and that definitely affected my relationships in the past, but it was also maybe a coping mechanism from my relationships in the past, because I was in one relationship, long-term relationship, where I really survived by zoning out and just taking that step back. So I think I had to work on that habit and realize that if I just keep doing that, I'm going to find it really hard to connect with my partner.
Yeah, and it's important as well, I think, just to feel safe enough with the person you're going to take that risk with. And Rebecca's fiery and can be little girl, but I can really feel you're very present, you know, you're both very present, which is a delight to see. Oh, goodness me. So, from all of that, what habits have you got that help you maintain your trust and your communication?
Great question. Shall I start?
Yeah.
Yeah, so a few different habits. Actually, we cover this a lot with our clients, like to help them really embed constructive habits that really work. One thing we do is we have a regular conversations where we can really be present for each other, and we have this process that we follow that really gets us out of the reactivity and just makes us gives us a structure to really hear the other person without having to get into like solutions and opinions and distractions and just to really be there. Because I think that's one of the biggest gifts that we can give our partner, really, to be there and to hear them without getting reactive. So that's one habit. There's probably a few others as well. What else do we do?
I would also say, Heather, that being very curious to understand how my partner is, or specifically how people with masculine essence are, I would say most men, that has been a blessing. And that's something that we really focus a lot in our program. So obviously working our work has helped a lot to keep improving my relationship with my partner. Because the more I ask mad questions in these deep conversations that we have about how he is, can you help me understand why you said that? Can you help me understand what is your thinking process when you do that? These kind of conversations have helped me a lot to understand Matt and feel more connected to him and prevent me from actually moving away and farther from Matt, because I have an attachment style that is anxious and avoidant, the disorganized one. And that means that if I get crossed, I would want to leave my Matt or any partner. Of course, I've worked on that. I'm not like that anymore, but I had this pattern. Every time I would get triggered, I'm like, I'm leaving, I'm done. I'm gonna get another flat, a house, I'm going back to Spain, whatever. And so getting to know Matt and the masculine is key, because sometimes he would say things that I would just get triggered and I would tell Matt, you didn't say that. Please delete what you just said. He's like, how could you say that? You know, that's a good, that grandiosity. Like, you are not allowed to say things that I don't approve. It's crazy. But it is really the misunderstanding of the feminine and the masculine energies. Because from the feminine energy perspective, you never say that. But from the masculine, it makes absolute total sense. So
Yeah.
the understanding of those two things is key, the feminine and the masculine.
I'm really loving how you phrase the question because to help a man, to get a man to help you is one of the things generally is the received wisdom you tell me, Matt, is a way to get in, to focus in because men generally do want to help.
Yeah, that's
Exactly. Yeah, they
right.
completely understand, agree with that. I think that's one blessing, I think, of working together is that we get to do a lot of practical, like problem-solving stuff together. And then from the masculine point of view, that feels great because my partner's helping me to do things that are important to me and achieve things that are important to me. So imagine how I start feeling towards someone who's on my team and got my back and is, encouraging, supportive, and so on. So yeah, I think that's really important and can be a bit underestimated. I think people don't realize how much you can really connect in that shared purpose, shared achievement.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I love
Go
what
on.
Matt said, Heather. I totally understand that from his perspective with masculine essence, he loves working together because we're bonding doing something. From my perspective, because I got feminine essence, I actually love being with Matt, not working together. Like being best friends, going out for a dinner, for a cuppa, for a coffee, or being just in bed, not even just playing or just laughing together, looking at each other's eye and just laughing at our own patterns. That's one of my favorite things, being in bed, just laughing and talking. Anyway,
Absolutely.
so one of the things that I actually love is that Matt really chooses me. Every week we put in the calendar some time to go out and do something together. And it doesn't have to be expensive, like he takes me to a luxurious somewhere. No, it could be going out together to take a coffee, a drink, or just to be, not even to do the shopping, to be together, present with each other and laugh and share how he's feeling, how I'm feeling, what he's most excited about at the moment, whatever it is. And it could be 4 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours. It could be a whole day that sometimes we do. But yeah, that's important because that's how I bond with Matt through the feminine, being present with each other, not doing anything. And
I
he's so
get
good
that.
at that. He mirrors my language, my feminine language. Sometimes he makes me laugh saying things like, oh, wait a second, I got a divine download, meaning I got an idea, or the teachers are talking to me, wait. And that kind of thing, that makes me feel like, oh my God, I feel seen. And that's so important because we were together the whole time. So if we don't do that, this would not work because I would feel like a business partner. And then I would feel used because I'm practical and functional for his life, but not because he really loves me as a woman.
Absolutely. You put that so beautifully. I think you must speak for many women in that. Yeah. Tell me what that's like for you, Matt, hearing all that.
Yeah, I resonate a lot, and I can definitely see how, like, sometimes my frustration can be like when things are getting in the way of me being productive and getting things done, and I try to catch myself when I'm in that moment, and we are who we are. I do have that part to me where I do like to be practical and getting on with things, but I really value what Rebecca said, and I think it's been a big learning point really for me, like how important that is, where we really diarize that time to be together and to be present and to just, yeah, we had a, just an example. We had a day, in fact, I think this is over your part of the world. We went to Oxford for the day. It's like not that far from here. I think it's
Yeah,
you. And then anyway, we just had this like really nice day, just like flowing, went to a few museums and had a walk a lot by the river. It was just like magic, and we probably did talk a little bit about work, but in a very, very light way. But mainly it was just being together, connecting, talking, laughing, and yeah, it was just a really, really magic day. So yeah, here's the thing, like if it was just me on my own, Heather, I probably wouldn't have done that. But I know how much it matters to Rebecca, and then together it's something really special, memorable. So
Do you know, as you're both speaking, I can feel the softness of your hearts for each other. It's an absolute delight to witness. It's gorgeous.
Thank
Oh, you're an example to follow. It's wonderful. It's lovely to have you to be able to show people what's possible. Yeah, it's lovely.
you.
Because people don't want to talk about their intimate relationships very easily. You're the only people, I think, that have ever, oh, one other couple who wanted to talk about it. So thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome.
So the next bit is a ticklish bit. How do you manage conflict between you? What do you do?
Great question.
Can I ask?
Yeah, go ahead.
With laughter. We laugh. We really laugh, Heather, at conflict, really. Do you know why? Because of what I've told you before. Because we understand so well the differences between feminine energy and masculine energy, and also our trauma responses, whether sometimes I can be feisty or fiery, like Matt said, passionate or hot or whatever, or whether we can both be flight, like be overactive and then get overwhelmed, or we know our stress responses, and also the feminine and the masculine. So that's all we laugh at. We laugh at our own patterns, basically, and we have such a strong self-awareness of ourselves that when we realize that, for example, if I realize I'm fighting or I'm like overwhelmed, overactive, and I feel more overwhelmed or annoyed at Matt because he's giving me more things to do than the ones that are million things that I've already created for myself, plus I already had, so. Then if I have this self-awareness and I notice what is happening within me, before I get triggered, I tell Matt, I have a conversation, how I'm feeling. Or I give him a warning if we don't have time for a conversation. Hey Matt, I'm feeling so overwhelmed. Oh my God. Like just like that. And we're very sensitive with each other, caring for each other. So that's really key. Absolute key.
So you really say how you feel before you go off the deep end.
Yes.
I think we're quite good at listening to each other that way. I love what you said about like humor can be a powerful tool. And I wanted to just also give a word of warning because I think the reason the humor works is because we're in a good emotional place together. You know, we're getting along, we're respectful to each other. So we know that the humor is coming from a good place. The danger, like just think of people listening, you know, if you're not in such a good place, I want to suggest that it's good to tread quite carefully with humor as well, because it if we're struggling, it can just have the opposite effect to what we really want. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I think humor can be powerful as long as we're in a good place. So, yeah.
I totally get that it fits for you. But yeah, you've got to be very careful with humor. I agree because it can be mocking, it can be sarcastic, and it can go down that sort of what we're talking about in you're interviewing me. You can go ratcheting down or ratcheting up, and you're using your humor to raise your level of consciousness and warmth and connection. But my God, it can go the other way. If it gets tinged with bitterness, resentment, competitiveness, and all that, oh God, yeah. So it sounds like you two know how to make eye contact with your humor. I see it between you. You look at each other and you're looking at each other on the screen as well as me. And it's just, you're tuning in all the time. And that's delightful to see. There you go, you got two delightfuls out of
Okay,
me. There'll
thank
be more, I'm sure.
you. Maybe we'll see.
Okay, so if you were to just look over your relationship, what do you think is the biggest lesson you've learned about love and partnership?
That's a great question. Shall I go first? Yeah, so much, Heather. I've definitely so. I've learned this with Rebecca. She's helped me to like bring certain qualities out of myself that I think have been really repressed like in the past. So I think I mean, talking about humor, just use this example. In a previous long-term relationship I was in, humor was extremely tense. I mean, you couldn't, it just wasn't really on the cards, you know, it wouldn't land well. So I think over years of being in that situation, I ended up playing very, very small. And you could say almost like not really wanting to express that part of myself, because I think I'm quite playful and fun, but I think I just learned that that was dangerous territory to go down. So I think with Rebecca, what I've done is allowed myself to express that part of myself again. You could call it fun, charisma, confidence. And I just think those are the times when our relationship is really magic, you know, when I can bring those qualities and Rebecca brings her own magic, and then we can really connect. So I think my from my perspective is I've become a better person, you know, through my relationship with Rebecca. You know, she's brought out these qualities in me that I think were there already, but I was just pushing them down. And now I don't do that. So I feel much better in myself. I feel more relaxed, able to be me. And that I feel that that's welcomed by Rebecca and that, you know, she loves me for who I am.
That's
How about
beautiful.
He was amazing from day one.
you?
Now he's super amazing. And I'm just good. My biggest lesson, Heather, is that this is gonna sound really strong, but that's how I am, direct. I stopped being a prostitute, basically, because I was so desperate that I would just have, and whichever partner I had, I would just keep going, having sex, not feeling attracted to them, because I needed them. And I didn't want to break the relationship because I needed my partner. So I had a breakthrough. One day I said, I don't care if I need to start again, if I am gonna be lonely, which that was my biggest fear, to be alone. Whatever the price, it's my own problem, my own baggage, so I will face it. But I won't keep having sex with a partner that I don't feel attracted to, and definitely that I don't feel safe with. With Matt, I always felt safe. But I had this issue of being very childish, I didn't feel attracted to. So I worked on that. So that in general, in relationships, that's my biggest lesson, to be honest with myself and to own my fears rather than prostituting myself with a partner because I'm trading not to be alone or whatever else. So respect with myself and with my partner, honesty, because if I'm not honest with myself, how can I show up with honesty with my partner? They are having a relationship with someone that they don't know the real me because I'm not honest. So really, respect is my biggest lesson with my partner and with myself.
That's wonderful. And you've both been really courageous. I'm hearing that, you know, you've both stepped out of the safety zone, the comfort zone of keeping the status quo, keeping quiet, and just going along with things so as not to be alone or because you don't know how to leave. That's really big. That's really big. And thank you so much for sharing so honestly, the both of you. Because I think two counts, you know, one for men to express any sort of vulnerability about being dimmed down is just so limited in this culture, you know. So you really step forward and being courageous in acknowledging that. And Rebecca, I don't know how many people you must be speaking to when you say going along with sex for, you know, it's the old roles mentality. You know, this is what a woman provides in order that a man will. Ugh.
Yes.
Yeah, those days are done, and thank you for being so candid, both of you.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. It's been like having our own therapy session. I've enjoyed
Yes.
it.
I'm enjoying as well. I agree. I
We
agree.
don't often get questions like this to actually
No.
talk, think about this. So
Just talk about.
it's been a blessing, Heather. Thank you.
Oh, it's great to hear. So let's talk about things a little bit more. If you could go back and give advice to yourselves right at the start of your relationship, what would you say to each other and yourselves then?
I love
That's a great
it.
question. At the start, like when we started our relationship, what advice? It's a great point. I guess a few things So one thing I think we've done really good is like from the start, I think we've had a vision of what we could do together. I think like quite in a lot of relationships, people take a while to get to that point of like thinking about it as a commitment or as a life path. But I think in our case, if I was going to give us a positive feedback, it would be that we were quite quick to like see that opportunity, to see that we've had this alignment in terms of what we wanted, where we're going, our values. So I think that was good. I think maybe one bit of advice would be to, because our relationship, like from quite early on, had like our business like quite close to the heart of it. So I think one bit of advice would be to remember that that's all good, but also make sure that it's not too much about business. Like to make sure that it still has that proper relationship side of things. We're not just business partners here. You know, we may be business partners, but that's not the core of why we're here. You know, it's one component of it, which is fine, but it's not the only thing. And so things like our holidays, our trips, different activities that we've done for fun, you know, I think have been really important. And maybe at certain times we've taken our eye off that, and maybe it has really been business. But yeah, that would be my advice to myself or to us.
I'm laughing because I love what Matt says. Looking back, it is true that I could look at ourselves like I could look at our relationship like we were business partners with rights, with sexual rights, but loving, caring business partner because we were so loving with each other. But it's true, it was so all about business. And then we realized we made changes and we started to travel the world, and Matt has taken me to so many amazing places. So, yeah, it's funny. I think what I would do, Heather, is to go back and I would say to Matt's inner protective parts, I see you and I love you and I embrace you. And I would do exactly the same to my inner protective and reactive parts, because those inner protective and reactive parts are actually our coping mechanisms to survive from the traumas, complex trauma that we had in the past that, you know, that we were still working on. And it's really a lifetime work, but we're so beyond that off from where we were. And that's what I would do, really, because I was fighting with those parts, Matt's parts, Matt's slow pace, like he said, for example, my fast pace as well. It was all survival coping mechanisms, and I fought, I resisted to that, which is what people do in relationships when they fight with each other. It's not with each other, it's with each other's inner protective and reactive parts. And
Absolutely.
now I have honored Matt's inner parts, mine too. And actually, I love them. In fact, Matt, when we were working together, I had a problem, Heather. He is called Matthew John Albiges. And I had this joke that working together, he was more like John-like. Very serious, very on task. And the partner that I liked was Matt, his fun side. And so I started to tell Matt that I hated John. I didn't like him. I hated John. But then how can you hate a part of your partner and love the other one? If you really love your partner, you love your partner and all his parts, inner parts. So I started to think, I need to look for a way to include John in my life because I was doing family constellations training at that point, and I was telling Matt all about the training, and Matt started to talk to me about the law of inclusion, and I'm like, right, I'm excluding John, so I need to include John. And that's what I would do, include every single part of Matt and of myself as well, which now we do. So that's why, you know, it's all working.
So everybody's getting heard, all the parts are getting
Yes.
heard, and then they don't have to go away and dim themselves down or come out fighting. Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
exactly.
That's lovely. And I mean, working together, that's a big deal. How do you manage to balance it? I mean, do you have structures in place, or do you, what do you do to balance work and your own lives?
That's a great question. I've got to say, we haven't always got this right. We definitely haven't always got this right. One thing we've put in place, though, over the last maybe 6 months, year, that I think is really a really big step forward is we have two slots in the week. One is like a long lunch on a Wednesday, so like lunch plus most of the afternoon, and then Saturday afternoon and evening. It doesn't happen every single week, but we've got this intention that these are times where we go out and just do something for us. And yeah, as there's sometimes other constraints do come in, but then we try to reschedule for other times in the week because we're so busy. But I think even just the intention of that is important. Like saying that we both value that time enough to block it in the diary, I think that's really helped. And yeah, we've had some nice days out, trips and long lunches and trips to museums and different stuff that we've just done to have fun, spend some time together.
Feeding the pleasure.
Exactly. How about you?
Yeah, that this I agree with Matt what he said. This is important. Otherwise, we just keep working and working. Again, we become business partners. So being present with each other is huge. And that requires phones off, time out together. Yeah, otherwise, it's not gonna work. And another important thing for me would be that because I'm in business mode quite a lot of time, and then when we are in bed together, I could find it difficult sometimes to shift my energy from the masculine, doing, planning, getting things done, achieving, completion, to feminine energy, playful, spontaneous, receptive. I could find it challenging sometimes. And so it's just, again, Heather, the self-awareness. How am I feeling? If Matt wants to play, how am I feeling? Am I feminine? Am I masculine? Am I receptive? Am I not? And I would just tell Matt, I mean masculine style. I've got a million things in my head. I'm in bed, but telling myself, sleep fast, get up at 6, finish this job, sleep fast. So I would tell Matt, if you want to play with me, tell me a joke. And then he would just say, oh, no, don't worry, sweetie. You don't have to do anything that you don't want to. Let's just sleep. And then he's detached. And then I go, oh, so he doesn't want to play with me. And because I used to be attracted towards emotionally unavailable men, now I go, so he doesn't want to play with me. So now I want to play with Matt. And he knows me very well. So he's like, no, let's just sleep. And then I just touch Matt's foot, like this. That's the first attempt. So he comes back to me, and then he starts making a joke. And then I'm like, no, okay, let's sleep. And then, do you know what I mean?
I do,
Just
I do.
playful. Eventually, of course, we're laughing, we're just playful, and everything happens. I don't tell you the details.
That's lovely. Yeah, it's a nice way to get into romance and intimacy. It's beautiful. So, have you got other strategies to keep that intimacy and romance alive?
Yeah, I'd go back to something. I think you mentioned this actually in our previous conversation, Heather. Like, I think it's really important to look after ourselves, like do the things that we really enjoy. So, like for me, one thing I do, I'm a member of like a thing called Toastmasters, like public speaking. I really enjoy it, and I meet a lot of people there, and it's fun. Rebecca doesn't come; she used to be a member years ago, but it's not really her thing. But that's fine, because I go out and I come back, and I'm feeling great. It's like I had such a great time, spoke to these people, heard these different talks. So other things I might do on my own, like tonight I'm going to a football match. Again, Rebecca's not into that at all, but for me, it energizes me. So it's like doing the things individually that put us in a good place, I think is really, really important. And Rebecca's got different stuff that she does. She goes out with her friends and, does other stuff. But I just think that can be overlooked sometimes when people are working on the relationship. They can get a bit too intense, and it's all about the relationship. But I think if we're not in a good place, then it's difficult.
I agree with Matt. It's so important, Heather. Sometimes I also go to Spain to see my family, or I meet my friends for a while or for a whole day, or I go to my friend's house. It's so important. And like Matt said, when he goes out to the football matches or to the public speaking club that he likes to go, I actually have a lot of friends that I met in different therapy trainings that I've done for our work, and I meet them. They do a therapy session for me for free. I do another one for them. So we're helping each other to keep growing. We work on whatever issues we face, life brings us. And I also keep studying. I'm always studying. I love learning new therapeutic modalities. It's my passion. I love reading. I love working on my mindset in different issues, like the abundance mindset as well, money mindset, because I was very poor when I was born. So I also work on these things. So yeah, I love doing things by myself with my friends. And what happens is that when we meet, we have a lot of fun, exciting things to tell each other, and actually we feel attracted to each other. Because I'm more feminine, Matt is more masculine, and so the spark is on fire.
Beautiful, beautiful. Listen, everybody, that's lovely advice. So, what does having this beautiful relationship in your life mean to you?
Let's start. Yeah, great question. What does it mean? Wow, it means so much. Definitely. I could answer that. I could say so much about that, Heather. I would say, just to go back a bit to what I said earlier, I really feel like I'm a better person through the contact I've had with Rebecca. You know, that our encounter, our love story, our journey together has, you know, enabled me to show up in a way that I just wouldn't be able to do on my own. You know, she brings so much passion and spark. You know, she's very hot, I'm very cool. So, you know, in the balance between that, we can really, well, I feel, just speaking for myself, I feel that brings out the best in me in so many ways, you know. And I think I'm a better parent as well. I think I'm much more in tuned and sensitive to my kids because of that. And with my work as well, I think I connect much better with people. So when I put that all together, I haven't lost any of the other qualities that I have on my own, but I feel I've brought out some new ones. So that would be my perspective, yeah, to feel that I become a better person through the relationship. How about you?
I would agree with that, Heather, as well. I definitely become a much better person with Matt. I really think that I've noticed clearly how, when I met with Matt, I started to be more spiritual. Really, I don't think I was before. I was a nice person trying to do my best. I loved reading self-help books and psychology stuff. But that's about it. When I met Matt, I started to be different. Honestly, I just think I become more spiritual thanks to Matt. And now I would say that I am very spiritual. And I think that has been something that I've got from Matt. And then the way I see my relationship with Matt is like I always tell Matt, I just have this idea that the universe, God, the angels, or however you want to call it, gave us a mission before we were born and gave us a calling to fulfill that mission in a particular date. And that happened when I met Matt. I met my angel colleague and we found our mission and we created it straight away along with love.
Can
So
I add to that?
beautiful.
Yeah, I'm just going to interject, add to what Rebecca said. I was so unhappy, Heather, like miserable for years in a previous relationship I was in. And that was tough, you know, because it didn't only affect me, it affected me a lot, but it definitely affected like my kids a lot as well. And I feel like what we've discovered together, this path that we've been on has almost given meaning to those years of pain and misery, really. That, it's almost like I had to go through that in order to come out the other end. And coming out the other end was to create something really different looking with Rebecca. And that's been, not again, not only benefit to me, but other people around me as well that have seen that and experienced it. So yeah, that's what I'd say.
Gorgeous. What
I,
about? Oh, go on more.
I, you know what, Heather, my father used to say, relationships never work.
Oh.
And my mom struggled a lot as well with my dad. So bless them. And I think I'm the product of my upbringing, witnessing my parents' relationship. And with Matt, I just feel blessed. Because I've healed the ongoing subject in my life of relationships. And now I can help other people with Matt. And what can I say? He's my best friend, really. He's my best friend, the dream business partner, a good flatmate. Just a good
Good question. Noted.
Oh God, let's not go down the domestic route because I mean I've got that in spades here. No, I'm not tidy at all, and Ian's very, very tidy, and that is one of our continual growth edges, shall we say? Yeah, I mean it's a big thing, isn't it? How you live together. Yeah, it's a big thing. What advice would you give to couples who want to build a lasting, fulfilling relationship like yours?
That's a great question. I would the first bit of advice I would say is don't assume that it's easy. Don't assume that it's easy because I think a lot of people see relationship in quite a different way to like other aspects of their life. Think about like professional life. Most people know that you need to work on it and maybe do go on a training course and read a book. And we just understand that this important area of life called professional success requires work. But a lot of people, when it comes to relationships, don't see it that way at all. At all. They just see, well, if my partner's the right person for me, then it'll just work and be easy. And that, I think, is a real misunderstanding. Because I think what we just don't learn this stuff at school. We just don't understand what it takes. And where we do tend to learn a lot is at home, like watching mum and dad or whoever it is around. And well, maybe they're having a perfect, blissful relationship. Normally they're not. And then it's not that surprising that we just pick up ideas that don't really make sense. So that would be what I would say if people just don't assume that it's easy or should just work like without any thought or consideration.
Yeah, and
That
there's
would be
nothing wrong with you if it's difficult at times.
exactly. We're human. We
Yeah.
how
Say, Heather, two things. Number one, get really, really, really good at understanding the inner works of relationships, including the feminine and the masculine energies that I mentioned before. But there's more than that, the inner works of inner dynamics, how the relationships work. That's absolutely key. And the second one is, I would tell them, take pride in doing your inner work. You don't need your partner to work on their relationship for you to influence the relationship dynamic. You can just do it yourself. And I'm saying this because most people have a lot of shame when it comes to talking about relationships issues, which you've said before. And that's why they won't take action. They will keep patching up and doing patch-up jobs, coping mechanisms, expensive holidays, spending a lot of money just to have another row. And they say their children do not see them arguing, but their children feel the ice in the air, the tension. Unspoken truths can be so damaging. So I would say that those two things, because if people don't understand the relationship dynamics properly, they are gonna need a lifetime premium subscription to do their inner work in therapy. And if they do if they learn about how relationships work but they don't do their inner work, it's just not going to work because they're going to keep all the time that reactive and protective state of survival where no thriving relationships is possible because they are aligned with fear, like we call it, rather than aligned with love, basically.
And do you have sort of routines or little rituals that help you keep on your path?
Yeah, a couple that come to mind. We have a well, there's more to it than this, but just a quick version. We every day we do a thank you, sorry, and magic moment. So thank you is like expressing some gratitude from the last day, something my partner's done for me. Sorry is something where I maybe wasn't as considerate as I could have been, or I didn't think about my partner's needs in some way, so try and recognize that and just share something that I really enjoyed or appreciated. So this is our like daily mini workout. There's a bit more to it than that, but I think those are great habits to start with.
I agree. We have another one, very important, and people may be surprised. And is that we have two different bedrooms. I've got my own space, Matt has his own space, and this is key because we need to decompress, we need our own privacy. I'm a highly sensitive person. I consider myself like a sponge. I absorb all kinds of emotions from people. Imagine I do a lot of therapy work with clients, so good luck. So I need to zoom out, zone out. And so that's one thing. And the other one is that Matt always comes to my bed every night to sleep together. And then he at some point migrates to his own bedroom. And that's important. And also sometimes I get up and I go to Matt's bedroom if I hear that he's awaken. And that's really nice. Why, Heather? Because it feels like I'm going to Matt's house, to my boyfriend's house. And it's very exciting, And also it feels like he's coming to my house because it can really easily happen that living together, we lose our own independence, our own individuation, and we merge and we can become brother and sister and flatmates, and that's no good. So
No.
that's a good one.
Enough space so that you've got space to come together. Yeah, I get that. And how do you see your relationship evolving then over the next 5 to 10 years? What are you looking at?
That's
That's a
a
great
very good
point.
question.
I mean, we love what we do, so I see our work as being a big part of that. But maybe the balance could change a bit potentially. One of my mantras at the moment, Heather, is like, if not now, when? And this has driven us to do some things that have been for a while on the radar, but just not happening. And actually, we touched on this earlier, Heather, when we were talking. Like, if you have a goal, to do something or to go somewhere, then it's like if you don't make it happen, then it may just not happen. I've got my uncle at the moment is like really ill, and it's really sad, but it's like a reminder that we haven't got like unlimited time here on this planet, and it really so like some of the travel that we've done over the last few years has been driven a bit by that. Also, our move to London, it was driven by that. We had this goal and we thought, well, if we don't make it happen, then it's not going to happen. So yeah, I see us like taking on a few other of these projects, whether it's work or family, other related stuff. But yeah, I'm excited. How about you?
Yeah, I agree with Matt. In the next 5 years, to be honest, Heather, I just see myself in the same place that I am now with Matt, best friends, best dream partner, really, and probably doing exactly the same that we're doing, working at the line with love, thriving, for sure, and just nice, happy. Happy. I don't know what's gonna happen in 5 years' time, but super happy for sure.
It feels like that, the intentionality that you both have and the melding of your minds to those intentions is just so lovely. It'll happen. It'll happen. I can feel it. You'll make it.
Thank you.
How can people get in touch with you if they want to work with you?
Yeah, great place to start would be our website, Heather, alignedwithlove.net. You can find out all about what we do on there. We've got a scorecard people can take to get some feedback on your relationship. You can listen to our podcast, get my book. We've got loads of blog articles, so there's tons of resources on there, and also ways you can get in touch, for people that want to reach out and make contact. So that would be a good starting point.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Heather. Well, thanks for
Thank you
having me. I'd
so
say this
much.
has been really a pleasure, because it's saying that it's not that often people ask us questions like this, so it's been really nice. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Helen. It's been really fun talking to you.
It's been a joy.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. Do take a minute and share this with us and visit us on our Facebook page. You can connect with me personally on my email at heather@heathergarbutt.com. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. If you have any feedback on how I can improve it, please do reach out to me, as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much again for listening, and we'll meet again on the next episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.